right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
You spit guards.
Yeah, it happens.
I want to spit on
you. Don't
equipment.
Want my spit. I'm dying right now.
Really?
I'm ill.
You do sound a little ill.
I feel as though I've been sick since November.
Really?
Seriously.
Yo, it's that germ farm running around your house.
It is.
That foot high, foot and a half high germ farm.
He brings it home from school, and yeah? And it just goes around my house like a fucking typhoon. Swirls around from person to person.
That's pretty funny. Bounces off the cats.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's shitting, puking, coughing, stuffy
Jeez.
Nose.
A little visceral, aren't you?
It's fantastic.
That's good.
Week in and week out.
Well, I don't even know where to go from there. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode, amazingly enough, episode 275.
That's right. The crowd goes mild.
Yeah, 275 of these fucking things.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm impressed by that.
Shouldn't this be like a retrospective, or are we saving that for 300?
What's our retrospective? We've done 275 of these things.
We got like 6 months until...
till what? 300?
Yeah,
we have a month and a half till 8 years, 7 years.
Something really?
Like, yeah, March.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time she does fly, sir.
Yes, she does. And we're calling this one Where No Star Trek Director Has Gone Before.
That's right. For obvious reasons.
Unless you've lived under a rock.
For the past week.
You know what we're talking about. And speaking of which, OG, why don't we just do this?
Geek Stuff. What's in the news?
So, yeah. J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
So,
So, what's the biggest surprise, do you think, about that?
That it's J.J. Abrams. I think the biggest surprise is that it's him.
I think the biggest surprise is he's one of the first people they talked to about it. And
right.
He was like, absolutely fucking not.
Right. And I believe him.
You know what I think convinced him? The dump truck of 20s that they backed up to his house with big giant Mickey ears on the front of it.
I think Kathleen Kennedy said, no one else wants to direct this.
Do it, nerd, or you'll never work in this town again.
No, seriously, she's pretty much said she begged him to do it. Oh, yeah. She pressured him and asked him and asked him, and then, you know, she had a sit down with him and they had a conversation. But I really think it was a matter of, look, nobody else wants to direct this. We need someone really strong to reboot this, or to not reboot it, but to breathe life into it, to have a positive going forward. And I think that the fanboy in him, plus the dump truck of money, probably convinced him that, yes, it was an appropriate move for him. Now, that being said, how do you feel about it?
Well, if there's a guy who's got the clout.
Yeah, I know a lot of people clamored about it at first, and all the lens flare jokes are really just old.
Yeah, I know.
So
that is really funny.
It is kind of funny. And actually, if you've ever heard interviews with J.J. Abrams, he makes fun of them. He makes fun of himself. I know. He knows.
Yeah.
But
the other one I've heard is how it's just going to be like, you know, I've heard these crazy things, like it's going to be the camera on like R2-D2.
Yeah.
You know, all those kind of things have started. Like, what was that movie?
What, Super 8?
No. The other one. The one where it was just the steady cams, not steady cams, the camcorders.
Oh, like Cloverfield?
Yeah, like Cloverfield. Yeah.
No. And then I heard a couple of people say, you know, the biggest criticism that people had with the Star Trek reboot was that it was too much like Star Wars, which I've never actually heard that criticism until now. But,
and really?
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't think that at all.
But I have no problem with J.J. Abrams directing this film.
Here's the problem I have with it.
What?
The last time a director was plucked
right
from a successful 2 franchise
yes.
to reboot, if right. you will, an older franchise, coincidentally also from the 70s.
Right.
It didn't work out well at all. And it nearly destroyed both of those franchises.
Well, Paramount, you probably should say that.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Superman and X-Men.
There you go.
Paramount has said that J.J. Abrams will be producing the third Star Trek film, as well as the next Mission Impossible film.
Producing.
And he may still be on board to direct.
No, okay. So the rumor is... Star Trek. So here's two things. Here's two things about this situation which are interesting.
Right.
One, they confirmed him for episode 7.
I think that's it.
That's it.
I think that's it. I think he's one and done.
He said in a statement, I will enjoy making these movies.
Yeah.
So either one of two things. Either they haven't released that he's going to do 3 of them or 2 of them, whatever, multiple of them, or and he slipped up and let it loose, or he's feeling a little confident about the fact that if he does a good job on the first one, that maybe he'll get the gig. Either way, we're looking at 2 years between the movies, if the rumors are to be believed.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay, so if it's 2 years between the movies,
right?
If he's in post on Star Wars, he's in pre-production on Trek 3. So it could all theoretically work out. I mean, he's gonna look like a heroin addict.
He's gonna look a little like Peter Jackson did after filming Lord of the Rings.
Well, unless he eats a whale, I don't think that's gonna be a problem. Well, no, actually, Peter Jackson lost all that weight.
No, that's what I mean. Peter Jackson lost all that weight. He kind of looked sickly by the time he was done.
But he had I thought that wasn't that a surgery thing.
No, I don't know. I think it was.
I don't know.
Spent a lot of time in New Zealand. Well. In another issue, another issued statement, which I believe was today, Miss Kennedy said that she said something to the effect of, you know, we want to try to stick to the 2015 timeline, but we want to make sure that we do the movie right. That's our top priority.
Right.
I don't think we're going to see it in 2015.
I think so.
I think it'll be late 2015 or 2016.
Here's why everything is happening rapidly. Because Disney wants...
Disney wants
that money,
of course,
rolling. I mean, you can't pay like $400 gazillion or something, and then sit around for 4 years, you know, waiting for it to pay off.
Well,
I just don't think I don't see that happen.
Well, here's another thing:
they're going to throw something at the screen and see if it sticks in 15.
Well, guess what? They're not throwing at the screen. The 3D.
Oh yeah,
3D. Right?
Yeah. Actually, you reminded me. Actually, I have a bunch of other things.
They've pulled
add to this
thing. Them indefinitely.
2 and 3.
Right. The 3D
right.
conversions. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, they flat out said, look, we want to focus on...
2015.
We want to focus on the new movie.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them for that, and
The problem with that is that, I mean, if rumor is to be believed again, they're done. So why pull them at this point? I mean, it doesn't...
Are they done? I don't know
that's
if they're
what
done.
I heard they were done, yeah. That's why they're stacking them.
Yeah, well, maybe maybe they still had work to do on them and they don't want to put any more resources towards it.
Because every resource available to Lucasfilm is already working, if rumors are to be believed,
sure,
already working on 7.
You know what the other thing is, to be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
I think that they may be afraid that even though 2 and 3 were much better received than 1, by the
hard not to be
right, but I wonder if they're afraid that, you know, if they re-put out 2 and 3,
you know, that
and it sours anybody's taste,
right?
That'll shine poorly on something new. If you don't give us anything film wise until the new film, by the time it comes out, we'll just be rabid,
right?
Let's be honest.
If you're starving,
you'll
eat anything. Somebody gives you a cracker.
It's the best cracker you ever had.
That's right.
So there. So
couple more. I have a couple more Star Wars Disney things. Are you going on with Star Wars Disney? Or are you going?
No, I was going to go on with Star Wars, but not Star Wars Disney.
Then let me add a couple of things that you may not have picked up on in your research this week. One, Clone Wars does not appear on the schedule for Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So Clone Wars has not been canceled, but is currently not on the fall schedule for Cartoon Network.
Let's take a step to the side.
Okay.
Cartoon Network also pulled the plug on Young Justice and Green Lantern.
Well, we knew that was coming.
Right.
That we knew was coming.
We knew it was coming on Young Justice, but on Green Lantern?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what happens is, I think Disney is circling the wagons. They're going to throw all this stuff on Disney. What is it? DX?
Disney DX, yeah.
Disney DX.
Yeah, or XD or whatever it is.
XD. We're DX and we're like D-Generation X from wrestling?
No.
Are they going to be crotch indicating?
This is not.
Remember they did do this with their hands by their crotch?
The Disney POC?
Break it down.
Anyway.
The Rock won Royal Rumble.
Did he? Of course he did. Was it the people's eyebrow? Is that how we won?
He actually used people's elbow.
Of course.
And he beat CM Punk, setting up, unbelievably,
WrestleMania.
The Rock and Cena 2 for WrestleMania.
Of course.
This is why we haven't watched wrestling in 10 years.
Let's stay on track.
To stay on track. So, Clone Wars, it's almost assured the announcement is going to come any day that Clone Wars is going to be on Disney XD. I think the Marvel properties are joining as well. But that grew out of something else. Some other Star Wars project or something is still continuing on Cartoon Network, but I don't remember what it is. So there was that.
Right.
And then there was another. I keep thinking there was another. Well, why don't you go on with that thing, and I'll see if it triggers something like that did. Because I know there was something else I wanted to tell you.
Well,
I don't remember what.
Kind of on the tails of things we've talked about in the last couple weeks, but what I'm considering to be pretty epically exciting, and pretty much the internet exploded yesterday with this announcement.
Yeah.
Hasbro unveils Star Wars The Black Series.
Yes.
Which, now, The Black Series is two things if you read this press article, press release. It is a all-new articulated...
That's two things.
All-new articulated 6-inch line.
That's three things.
You're misconstruing.
Okay.
But they also said that The Black Series is going to be... 3 3/4 as well.
Yes.
So
would you like an explanation?
Sure.
So what, 100 million years after the popularity of Marvel's the Marvel Legends line in 6-inch.
You mean Toy Biz's Marvel Legend line?
No, don't forget that
I know
they had it
For a year or two
before it died and should have stayed dead.
And it's kind of coming back.
Well, so here's the thing. So what we're talking about here is 6-inch Star Wars figures, fully articulated. Daryl DePriest, who we know from Hasbro over there,
right.
He's one of the vice presidents in charge of everything. And he said, these are the best Star Wars figures we have ever made.
Right.
And I totally believe that sentiment with every ounce of my heart, because Daryl doesn't really say stuff like that.
Sure.
I mean, he says, look, these are great and blah, blah, blah. What I thought was really funny was that he said, these are for the adult... What scared me also was that he said these were for the adult collectors who are kind of upset that we still haven't put out that 15th Cantina alien.
Right.
Which I thought was really funny, because I'm kind of one of those guys, not necessarily about the Cantina alien. I mean, I like the fact that they go and release all these characters, but What I read into that was that, well, what we're kind of doing is getting away from 3 3/4,
right,
for the collector. But what I found out subsequently over at JediTempleArchives.com, JediTempleArchives.com, is that what's happening is what we think, and we're going to find out in 2 weeks, I think, is that the speculation is that what was formerly the vintage line,
right,
hyper-articulated accessories, the best 3 3/4 they've ever
done,
will
become the Black Series.
Will become the Black Series in 3 3/4, and the 6-inch will compose the Black Series. The Black Series 6-inch will be now. Rumor has it again, it's 13 characters in the first series.
Okay, now I hadn't seen that yet.
That's what I heard, and I heard okay. Four at a time.
Four at a time.
The first four are
Luke in the X-Wing outfit,
Which is the one that you're seeing a picture of right now.
The picture you're seeing right now. Darth Maul.
Darth Maul. Mm-hmm.
R2-D2,
which is an interesting choice, I think.
And a sand trooper,
right. So, you know, what we're looking at is sort of a generic swath across the films, the properties, if you will. Those are the first four being announced. My guess is in 2 weeks we'll hear about at least, I would say, 8 more.
The other thing we should say is that Hasbro, and I believe Daryl, is also saying that these are primarily going to focus on original trilogy.
Yes.
With a smattering
Darth
of
Maul.
Important characters from the prequels.
Yeah, what's Darth left Maul. Of them.
Right. Also, these are going to retail at $19.99, a figure. And
not unexpected in this day and age. However, let's say this. They canceled the Unleashed line because of pricing of plastic.
Right. But I will say that I think that this line will succeed
where that one did not,
where Unleash failed,
right?
Primarily because of hopefully the breadth of the line. Also, because one of the things we all loved about the Unleash line but hated about it at the same time, I loved all the figures in that line, but I didn't need all of the hyper elaborated bases at some point,
right?
And I didn't want at that point in time a plastic statue in which that scale.
Yeah, but we knew that's what it was.
I know that, but these are, I really do think that the articulation and the playability of these combined right. with the not the huge ridiculous bases.
Right.
I think it just opens up a new door for something exciting.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you getting them all?
That I don't know. And I'll tell you why. I'd love to stand here and say yes. Right, like I did with Marvel Legends when they first came out.
And Episode 1 toys.
Right.
I'd like
and Episode 2 toys and most of Episode 3 toys. But you know, I think the real question for me is going to be how many they choose to release a year.
Okay.
Because for me it's going to be all or nothing.
Really?
No, I mean, there'll be a handful. I'll get Maul, I'll get R2.
Right.
For example. Right, I'll get Vader when he comes out. But if they say they're going to put out 20 figures a year, there's no way I'm going to be able to afford 20 figures a year or $20 a throw. It's just not going to happen.
Bucks a year.
Right. If they put out
plus tax, if
they put out 12 a year, it's doable.
I can't decide.
It's doable.
This is I'll give you an equivalent for me. And that is the Gentle Giant Jumbo Star Wars figure.
Sure.
I can't decide whether I want to get them all or not.
See, but those I think because of they're limited. You could make a commitment to those. My fear is that what will start out as, yeah, I'm going to get them all 8 years from now.
Yeah.
That's my fear. And the other honest to God question is going to be, I don't think I need 30 Lukes.
Yeah, if they go that way
again. You know what I mean? Like I actually really like Luke in the X-Wing outfit, and I might get that.
Right.
But that might be my only Luke. I don't need Bespin Luke, Endor Luke,
yellow leather,
Cloud City Luke,
leather, yellow leather jacket. Ceremony.
Yeah, I don't need, you know what I mean? I don't need Jedi in the, I don't need that. You know what I mean? I don't need 30 different R2-D2s. I don't need.
Back to tank Luke.
Right. Yeah, I don't. So you understand what I'm saying? Like, I may choose individual characters here and there that I really like, even outside of the scope of my regular Star Wars collecting, just because. Like, I might get Boba Fett, and I'm not really a Fett collector anymore, but I might get it if it's a great piece. So, I don't know. I think I'm going to be selective. I think selective is probably how I'm going to go. Let's move on from Star Wars.
Okay, what do you got? Move on
from Star Wars. Let's do, let's talk about Superman, the Man of Steel. Warner Brothers is pretty much all but said that if Man of Steel tanks...
Which I think it will.
JLA will not happen. Moving further with JLA.
Which means they're hedging their bets that this is going to tank, and that's their graceful way out of making a movie they know nobody wants.
Right. So, but what I think the most interesting part about that is, because this is something we've been saying all along. We've been saying if Superman tanks, that's it. For the Justice League movie, it's just not going to happen. Really? It doesn't make sense.
I said when the Green Lantern movie tanked that was it.
I think we had a wait for Superman. I really do think that's the tentpole. Superman is Iron Man. We've been saying all along, in order for JLA to go forward,
the Man of Steel, the Man of Iron.
No, you know, Superman has to be as strong as Iron Man was.
Yeah, in order for it
to move forward.
Uh-huh.
The most interesting thing about that information coming directly from Warner Brothers is that tells me they don't have confidence in their own project.
Oh, absolutely.
Warner Brothers should be rah, rah, rah.
Yep.
And they're like,
we're hedging our bets.
Don't hate us if it stinks.
Yeah. We're aware how everyone feels.
So that I think that's very telling.
We were at Comic-Con. We heard you.
Yeah, I think we can't do anything about it at this point,
but we heard you.
All right.
Handcuffs.
Finally.
Uh-huh.
Last but not least. Doc Strange and Ant-Man.
Uh-huh. So is that officially now?
They are the next two films, part of Phase 3.
Right.
So Phase 2 is still Iron Man 3, Cap 2, Thor 2, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Avengers 2, I think is Phase 2.
I thought that was Phase 3.
Is Avengers 2 Phase 3? I'm not sure. But Phase 3 for sure will include...
And the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show.
Phase 3, and to no one's surprise, by the way. Is anybody surprised by this announcement of these two titles? Ant-Man we've known has been in the works for a while. Edgar Wright, he showed that teaser footage at Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
He announced the film years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a Doctor Strange movie has been circling since before there was an Iron Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
In all truthfulness and honesty, that's a movie that has been tossed around for, it's got to be 10 years.
Two words for you.
What?
David Strathairn.
You know, I've already prepared the photo.
Oh, I've already pulled it.
You're looking at him right now. And, you know, speaking of David Strathairn, sci-fi in the, we're taking a page out of Fox's book, canceled alphas.
Yeah, I heard.
To no one's pleasure. A lot. Especially because it was a massive cliffhanger that they left you on.
Yeah.
And sci-fi is throwing all of their money into Defiance, which, in my honest opinion, does not look that good.
Defiance, is that like Falling Skies?
No,
I heard it's a lot like Falling Skies.
Except that Falling Skies takes place on Earth, right?
Yeah.
Defiance does not.
Right.
And Defiance is also a co-collaboration with the video game that's coming out at the same time.
Right.
They've been developing this project along with the game.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know what? I remember another game that was in development for a really long time.
Yeah, what was that?
It was called Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking playing it now.
So I think that was a massive mistake. But that had
Star Wars behind it. Hello.
That being said, David
Strathairn.
Available.
Yeah, fuck yeah, available.
So yeah. And actually, one more thing I think we should mention in the news segment before we take our first break.
Yes.
Friend of the show, Benny Klein.
Benny Klein.
He's participating right now in a fundraiser for, I think it's underprivileged youths.
Well, Benny himself was an underprivileged youth.
Was he?
Yeah, he still is, really.
Well, I don't know about the youth part.
Well, say what you want, sir.
Just saying, Benny.
Not insulting the man.
But Benny is participating in, I think it's a snowboarding event.
Oh, yeah?
And you can, like, sponsor him. And he's got a personal goal, obviously, that he's trying to raise for the event. And I will post a link on the show notes for where you can go. But we encourage you to check out the event. Check out Benny's page. And pledge if you can. It's a good cause.
I understand OG will be pledging $1,000 for every broken bone. that Benny incurs during this event.
No.
That's what I heard.
No. Well, first of all, I don't wish broken bones on him.
Is that a rumor?
And secondly,
no one wishes broken bones on him.
And
but
secondly, I don't have 1,000, let alone multiple thousands. I'm just saying.
Where's your confidence in Benny?
I have a lot of confidence in Benny. But snowboarding, you know, what about the other people? What if someone else stinks and pushes him into a tree? He can go Sunny on us. We don't want that to happen.
Wow.
That'd be terrible.
Sunny was skiing.
He was on snow.
No one even knows what you're talking about.
Sure they do.
Wow. What a great reference. Sunny going Sunny on us. Holy shit.
And with that, Big Kev.
Let's take that joke into our first break, OG, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 275, where no Star Trek director has gone before.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Hey, this is Robert Hedges from Welcome Back, Kotter.
This is Lauren Hooker-Jacobs from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Hey, this is Ron Palillo from Welcome Back, Kotter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right on, y'all.
But those dreams have remained, and they've turned around.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 275, where no Star Trek director has gone before.
Excellent, OG.
Of course, don't forget, if you want to talk about something that you've heard on the show, or perhaps something you want us to talk about, you can leave us a voicemail over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Yes, and sir, indeed, dilly do.
Geek Stuff. DVD news.
I don't even think that
I
was
made
English.
Up an expression.
You did.
I think I was speaking in tongues.
It was sort of like zippity doo-dah.
I was touched.
I thought
by,
you were going Uncle Remus on
touched
us.
Touched by God for a minute.
Is that what it is?
Talking in tongues.
You're having an aneurysm.
Yeah, DVDs.
There's two.
Yeah, this is.
And really, really, one of them is more important than the other one, I think.
We're going to have an announcement about some
next week.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen next week.
Downton Abbey Season 3 out on the DVD.
My God, they haven't even finished airing the third season in the U.S. yet.
Well, guess what?
Is it really out?
Yeah, the U.K. version came out today.
Can we get the U.K.?
Yeah.
Oh, I've already seen them all, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
Did you see the Christmas special?
I haven't seen all of Season 1 yet.
Oh, my, sir. You're missing out.
I'm watching other things right now. I'm watching Sherlock.
Yeah.
My wife has finally agreed to watch Doctor Who.
Season 3?
Yeah.
I can describe it in one word.
Uh-huh.
Balls.
Okay, there you go.
Balls. What else? What else is it? It looks like
the big one is Batman: The Dark Knight Returns Part 2.
Oh,
which
yes.
You've seen already.
I've seen it. Yeah,
but I have not.
Uh huh.
And it is out this week on the Blu-ray.
Yeah. So this actually, I think, did we talk about this last week? I thought it was really well done.
You did.
A lot
yeah.
closer to the comic than I thought was comfortable for animation. It happened. So bravo. Yeah, definitely got to pick that one up. That is absolutely key. I can't believe that they didn't just wait and put it out as a two-disc. I don't get why they did it separately. I mean, I guess I understand it, but from a money perspective. And that was all for DVDs, OG?
That's it.
Geek Stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comical books.
Yes, I have a few.
Okay, you go first.
All right. I have 3 DC books and a Marvel book.
It's like we're playing Go Fish. You have your pile, I have mine.
Arrow, number 3 out this week.
Okay, no one has that.
This is the digital story that is a companion to the TV show. Arrow, the TV show, and Arrow, this book here, 100 times better than Green Arrow, the actual book. Of course, hopefully with next month's issue 17 of Green Arrow, which what's his name? Jeff Lemire takes over writing the book.
Right.
That will get much better.
Possibly.
Also out this week, Talon, number 4.
Yes, Talon.
I've been enjoying Talon.
I have
Talon.
That. Go Fish. Go Fish.
Oh, I've been enjoying Talon.
Yeah.
This is Scott Snyder, James Tynion IV, and Gilliam March.
Can I say, I don't know that Talon is going to last. I'm enjoying it. I don't think it has longevity.
You don't
though.
Think so?
No.
I you know what?
I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it has.
I think he does.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of see him as the new Azrael.
Yeah, which really isn't a good thing to be called.
No, I know, but Azrael, even though he doesn't currently have a book right now, right? I think he's still around.
It's like being the new Booster Gold. You know, like it's just not a good thing.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
I didn't say.
Who knows? Maybe it will be a miniseries. You know what? Maybe it'll become one of those titles that they'll bring it back every so often.
If they got him a decent costume.
He's never in his costume.
I know.
He spends most of his time in, like, street clothes.
I don't like that. He needs, like, some sort of identity.
He has some sort of costume that kind of looks like the Night Owl from Watchmen, but...
Kind of.
Yeah. But he doesn't wear it very often.
Kind of. And it's kind of like, I don't know. There's something about the scheme of it that just bugs me. What else did you get?
Batman The Dark Knight, number 16.
Wait, hold on. Checking. Oh, yes, I got that.
Greg Hurwitz and Ethan Van Sciver.
Now, what's interesting about that?
That it's Ethan Van Sciver?
Well, Ethan Van Sciver, certainly. If you've never read a little book called Cyberfrog.
That it's the Mad Hatter on the cover?
Okay, also true. Next time you go to a Comic-Con and you meet Ethan Van Sciver, tell him you are a big fan of Cyberfrog.
Yeah.
And this is not a joke. He will absolutely be like, what? He'll be like flabbergasted. That's number one. Number two, who's missing from this book?
Oh, Joker?
No.
Who?
What creative force?
His name is eluding me.
David Finch.
David Finch, yes. Yeah, I guess I think
David Finch.
They're moving people around, sir.
Which is weird because I thought the whole point of this book was to showcase Finch.
Yeah, well, it was for a year and a half. You know which book is going to start stinking probably rapidly? Catwoman.
Green Arrow.
No, that one's going to start getting good. Catwoman, because the writer from Green Arrow is now working on Catwoman.
Whoops.
So there you go.
What else you got?
The other book I have this week is The Superior Yoda Spider-Man, issue number 2, out this week.
What? Yoda?
Yeah, Peter Parker is still Yoda-ing Doc Ock Spider-Man in this issue. He's still hovering around in the blue in this issue.
Gotcha.
I started to read this. I haven't finished it yet, but it's more of the same nonsense.
Uh-huh.
I will say, though, that I think it's next week or the following week. I'm with you. I am really looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a really good book.
I think
and
it is.
Iron Man on the cover of issue 1. And
uh-huh.
Did you see that Funko pop vinyl toy that came out this week?
No.
Official Iron Man 3 merch came out this week.
Oh, where, that where, I saw.
With Iron Man in the space suit.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and then Hasbro has an Iron Man in the spacesuit figure.
Oh, really?
And then Marvel asked, that website started pulling that down.
Oh.
So there's a lot of speculation that there's going to be a tie-in
cameo?
At the end of Iron Man 3.
Uh-huh. For Guardians?
For Guardians.
Except they didn't cast Guardians yet.
Well, there's a lot of people circling a lot of those roles.
That's true. You know who one of them is?
Adam Sandler and... Adam Sandler and what's his name? And another comedic actor, too.
What?
Are both in the running for Rocket Raccoon,
I
hear.
Oh, God. If they give it to Adam Sandler, they might as well flush the movie down the toilet.
Okay.
The guy... I can't remember. He's from a very impressive...
Someone big is up for Star-Lord. Right?
No, not Star-Lord. Oh, yeah, Star-Lord. Is it Star-Lord? I can't remember. But... somebody from a very prominent acting family, the Houstons.
Okay.
Angelica Houston is his aunt, I believe.
Okay. I don't know who this is that you're talking about.
He's playing, are you watching Boardwalk Empire?
I am not.
He's playing the guy with half a face.
Okay.
On Boardwalk Empire.
I kind of think I know who you're talking about.
That guy apparently is up for the role, and that would be killer, because he is really good on Boardwalk Empire. So
nice.
I'd be really down for that. That was all the books you got?
Yeah, that was it.
I also picked up Batman Beyond Unlimited number 12.
Yeah, I don't read that.
Featuring a gray-haired
Lobo.
Yeah.
I almost picked that up to read just because it's Lobo. I might get the digital of that.
Batman Incorporated number 7.
Yes, I don't read that either.
Batman and Robin Annual number 1.
I don't read that either, but I don't know why we need another Batman.
What do you mean, another? That's probably, what's his
Damian?
Name? That's Damian, I think, in some sort of bat costume. Daredevil, The Man Without Fear.
Right.
This is actually a second printing variant of number 21, which I was mistaken into purchase.
Ah.
I cannot believe I did that.
What a silly goose you are.
My goodness gracious.
Oh, and look, Green Hornet, the book that won't die.
It's Green Hornet number 33. Well, let me tell you, look, I like the Green Hornet character. I like what's happening more or less in this book. The art's kind of meh by Jethro Morales, written by Jai Nintz. I mean, they're really at the bottom of the barrel as far as this book goes.
Right.
That said, I can't really see this lasting much longer. However, Mark Wade's Green Hornet is going to be starting soon.
Yeah, that comes out soon.
And that looks really, really good. Art by Daniel Indro and cover by Paolo Rivera. I mean, I got to be on that, sir. I got it. I mean, I'm hoping, I really hope, with all due respect to everybody involved in this book, I hope this book ends and that book picks up.
Takes off.
That would be exciting. Yeah. Now, I might bail on that book.
Anyway.
2 months.
Right.
I might give it 2 months. I think this storyline is
Now I'm confused by this next book in your pile.
Why?
Because I thought we had a conversation last week.
Spider.
And masks.
And masks.
I thought it was all of the pulpy
No,
ones.
No, no. Not the Shadow, sir.
Oh, the Shadow we're holding on to.
The Shadow I'm keep reading right now. It's issue number 9 from Dynamite. For Right Now. Written by Victor Gishler. Art by Aaron Campbell.
Is that another cover by Alex Ross, by the way?
It is. And it's one of the reasons that I keep going back is because I love Alex Ross's work on the pulpy guys. I've always loved it. But you know, this one, I just can't give up. It's so hard to give up on Green Hornet, and I'm almost ready to do that. The Shadow, however, I think has at least been consistent. Green Hornet has been inconsistent for a while. So I might bail on Green Hornet, but I'm going to keep going. I might go to 12 on the Shadow.
Okay.
So if I make it to 12 and I'm still interested, then I'll keep reading. But okay. Otherwise, I'll stop, and I may trade or waiter it, something like that. But I actually enjoy that character. I read the Spider because it was kind of a really bad sort of clone of the Shadow, so I wanted to give it a shot. I read Mask because it was Alex Ross's whole involvement in that was pretty intense, and kind of bringing all those pulpy characters together in one book was interesting. Not really that interesting, as it turns out. An interesting concept, but kind of a poor execution. So Green Hornet, I'd say probably 2 more, but I'm definitely reading the Mark Waid Green Hornet stuff.
Okay.
And then the Shadow, probably, possibly, either the end of this arc or to issue 12, and then I'm going to make a hard decision.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
Cool.
Can we move on?
Sure.
Get away from my life. I have definitely something you should check out, and check it out quick, because it's going to go away. Oh, that is another bit of Star Wars news.
We talked about that last week.
We did?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, then we already talked about the fact that Dark Horse lost or is losing their Star Wars license, which is the biggest shame ever. At the end of 2013, and it's reverting to God help us, Marvel. You can still get great books like Star Wars Omnibus Infinities, which just came out. This is $24.99, $25, but you're going to get, I can't even imagine, over 260 pages, sir, of Star Wars delights. May I read for you what this collects?
You may, sir.
I'm glad you asked me that, OG, because I'm dying to tell you. And it includes the following. This volume collects Star Wars Infinities New Hope 1 through 4. Originally published in May, June, September, and November 2001. Star Wars Infinities, The Empire Strikes Back, 1 through 4. Originally published July, August, October, November 2002. And Star Wars Infinities, Return of the Jedi, 1 through 4. Originally published November 2003 and January, February, March 2004. All from Dark Horse Comics. So this is essentially a different view or a different take on the events in those four movies.
Three movies.
Not to be missed. Very interesting, creative stuff.
See, now that one I actually think I want.
Mm-hmm. You should want it, sir. It's good stuff.
Okay.
And you better enjoy it now because it's all going to fucking go away.
We'll also be able to get $2
Marvel
box.
Comics. Yay, Marvel Comics.
Marvel still puts out...
Do you think Marvel would ever have released... what you call it? What was that great Star Wars book that we both loved?
Legacy. I don't know.
I don't think they ever would have released
it. I think Marvel's going to do whatever Disney tells them to fucking do.
They want in the same. Yo, Soylent Green is people.
Joe Quesada going to be up in that room. Mickey Mouse is going to bitch slap him.
Just like the Mickey Mouse from South Park.
Yeah.
Just, what's going on here? Ha ha. I own all this crap now, Joe. Ha ha. Frank R. Paul. Have you ever heard of Emoji?
I have not, but I feel as though I should be ashamed that I have not.
I'm going to read you some Based gray on what matter. I've seen. Frank R. Paul wasn't the first artist to specialize in science fiction, nor was he the best. Still, without question, he was the most important. More than any other illustrator, he was responsible for the early popularity and growth of science fiction. If, as many historians of genre fiction have argued, Hugo Greenback was the father of modern science fiction, then Frank R. Paul was the heart and soul of the new literature. Stories like these required bold, striking illustrations to accompany bold, striking text. That was the type of art that Frank R. Paul drew. His backgrounds were massive. His machines were huge and complex. His spaceships were spectacular, and he never drew the same spaceship twice. Paul's art leapt off the page. It was filled with what early fans called that sense of wonder. Frank R. Paul's work was the soul of early science fiction, and the illustrations in this book are all filled with that rare magic. That's right, OG. Undoubtedly, you will recognize the type of artwork we're talking about here. Frank R. Paul, the Dean of Science Fiction Illustration. If you've ever seen like Amazing Stories magazine or covers or what else? Marvel Science Stories, Science and Mechanics, Science Fiction Quarterly, all the old, what I like to call the bubble helmet era of science fiction in the 30s.
Outer Space Men.
In the 30s and 40s. That kind of thing. Wonder Stories. All that sort of thing. You have definitely seen this man's work, and you have been amazed. And now the fine folks at IDW have put out a book dedicated to Frank R. Paul, telling about his life story and about his work. It is absolutely essential. $29.99 is the price tag, and you are going to be amazed by this book, sir. Full of big, full color art. A lot of his covers are reprinted here. All different kinds of artwork. Spectacular old school science fiction stuff. Amazing, amazing stuff. You got to check it out, OG.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
Yes. Product.
Moving on. Yeah. You have something. We have something. I'm going to let you go first because that looks damn impressive.
Aren't we, though, doing this one?
We are doing this one. But what I mean is...
We?
That is...
Spanish listeners.
While I appreciate that.
No sotros.
While I appreciate that, that's clearly you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying then?
Sure.
But have you seen the photos for fucking Vader Mythos?
No.
Holy shit, dude.
Did they release those today?
Oh my. No, it was like last week. Oh my God. It made me cry a little on the inside.
Really?
I need that Maul Mythos figure.
Yeah.
And I might need the Vader one.
Wow.
But anyway, go ahead.
You can flex pay that with Sideshow, sir. Sideshow Collectibles.
Crack on the side.
Sideshow Collectibles. You know, for many years, even long before the advent of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, I have been talking about Sideshow Collectibles and how awesome they are and how you need to be checking them out. Of course, their latest Star Wars piece we wanted to talk about is the 212th Attack Battalion Utapau 2nd Airborne Company 6th Scale figure. That is a lot of words. This is one of the militaries of Star Wars, 12-inch figures, fully decked out. I have here with us today, it's the Sideshow Exclusive Edition, and I believe the exclusive edition to this OG came with the Attack Battalion base, I think.
I'm sorry, you said that is the exclusive edition?
This is the exclusive.
Nice.
I believe it comes with the Attack Battalion base, I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Is the difference.
And one, a plethora of other things.
Look
I
at
see
this.
On that other page.
2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11 hands, 12.
Jesus Christ.
13 different hands.
Do I see extra feet?
Are there? Oh, there are extra feet. Oh, yeah, because I think that's the kind of, if he's doing sort of the crouch.
Oh, okay.
With
like the toes kind of.
Okay. Like the bent toes. He's got pistols. He's got blasters. He's got blaster rifles. He's fully armored from head to toe and fully articulated as well.
That's pretty impressive.
I know. It's got some cloth pouches and straps and things. I mean, come on. They're killing me, OG.
I hear you.
They're killing me. When they do stuff this great, it's like you have to have every single one. But I'll tell you, for the price tag on it, you're not going to beat it. I mean, you're not going to beat it anywhere in the Star Wars collecting universe, in my opinion. This figure, you may recognize this figure. There's a lot of pictures on the back of the packaging. Packaging, by the way, OG, is that sort of triple fold, you know, kind of, or quadruple fold, where it's the tray of accessories, and that folds into the box part where the figure is, and then there's a ton of gray material, gray matter about the character, or about the trooper.
We should say the nice part about the packaging like that. Is that it's really easy, should you ever want to, put it back in those trays.
Yep, absolutely.
And repackage it. If you're moving or you just want to put it away, cycle it out.
Yep.
It's really easy to do. And then, of course, the magnetic flap.
Magnetic flap is a huge innovation that Sideshow still rocks to this day. We said he's fully articulated. OG.
Do we get a price point on him?
I thought you would be grabbing me a price point on him.
I can do that.
You go to SideshowToy.com, OG, or SideshowCollectibles.com, I think, as well. We'll get you over there. And you can check out all of the Star Wars and other pieces they have as well, OG. I don't know if you're aware of how many licenses that Sideshow actually has. They have a ton.
Oh, I know.
I mean, we have talked about so many different things from Sideshow on this show, from different venues, different licenses, and so on and so forth. They now have a DC license. They're going to be putting out their first DC piece. And guess who it is, OG?
Who?
The Joker.
Oh, of course
it is. The Joker 6-scale figure. You have to see it to believe it. It is unbelievable. I don't want to take too much away from the 212th Attack Battalion Utapau 2nd Airborne Company 6-scale figure.
$134.99.
$134. And is he still available?
He is still available.
Oh, he is. That's great. So $134, but the exclusive version, sir.
I don't know if the exclusive is still available. I believe it might only be the regular edition.
But that's okay, because the regular edition still comes with, I think it still comes with the bulk of the same stuff. I think the special edition has the base.
Yeah, that's all.
Right? And maybe a piece or two else that I'm forgetting at the moment. Let's get a little gray material, OG. A division of the Grand Army of the Republic, the 2nd Airborne Company, was compromised of clone paratroopers serving under the 212th Attack Battalion led by Clone Commander Cody, which is why the yellow and white color scheme, or the orange and white. Is that yellow or orange, do you think?
No, I think it's orange.
It's orange, right? Led by Clone Commander Cody, outfitted in heavy armor suits specifically designed to withstand high altitude drops. Their armor is marked with two orange slashes across the chest to denote their rank and company. In 19 BBY. Do you know what BBY means?
I do not.
That means before the Battle of Yavin.
Okay.
Do you remember what the Battle of Yavin was?
Anyone?
First Death Star.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Battle of Yavin. In 19 BBY... which is, we're going to talk about that in a second. The 2nd Airborne Company faced General Grievous's droid forces during the Battle of Utapau and were later called upon to help overpower Utapau following the transmission of Order 66, which, as we know, was the key to having the clones attack the Jedi.
Kill the Jedi.
Yeah, kill the Jedi. 19 years before the Battle of Yavin.
Uh-huh.
What's that make Luke?
Doesn't seem right.
Doesn't seem right, does it?
No.
19 years old, Luke?
Yeah, it doesn't seem right. Well, no, he might have been 19. That could be right.
Let's say he was 19. Let's say it's 19 years. Obi-Wan.
Yeah, there's a mistake somewhere.
Somewhere.
Something's off.
Because he doesn't look 20 years. I mean, I understand the ravages of a two-sun desert planet. Obi-Wan looks like
he's only 60.
Let's argue this out for like half a second. Let's say he's 20. Let's say he's 20 in episode one.
Uh-huh.
Right? Let's say what are you giving the middle one? 5 years? Oh no, it's gotta be a lot more.
Think about how old Anakin is.
10 years.
Okay.
Let's give it 10 years. Obi-Wan is 30.
Right.
What are we putting between? It's the Clone Wars. Okay. So that's going to be a couple years. What are we giving that?
35?
You want to say 35?
Yeah.
Just for argument's sake? And this is 19 years later.
So, 44.
44-year-old.
In episode 3?
In
four?
Episode
no.
4.
That doesn't
That don't
right.
fly.
No, that don't fly.
Ravages of a Tucson desert planet, sir?
That don't fly.
I don't know.
54, maybe. 44, no.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm wondering if they're going to...
But you know what? But we're guessing what Obi-Wan's age is. I'm sure if we actually looked it up, they would tell us what...
They'd make it work.
Well, yeah.
Is he a Padawan after 20? That's freaking weird.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, check it out. Militaries of Star Wars Sideshow. We have the exclusive version here of the 212th Attack Battalion Utapau, 2nd Airborne Company, sculpting fantastic painting, articulation, opportunities, posing choices, and so on and so forth. Unbelievable. Check that out over at SideshowCollectibles.com.
And one other thing in our product segment.
Yes.
Something we are very excited to talk about because
we're in it.
We're part of it. This is finally. We've been talking about this for a long time, sir. The Art Hustle Series 3.
Uh-huh.
Coming to stores February this year. But we have a couple of packs here in studio that we opened before the show. Just to get a feel for, we'll tell you a little bit what's in the series. Let's tell you a little bit about some of the highlights.
Go.
There's over 110 participating artists and personalities.
And us.
We're personalities, sir.
You're a personality.
They're original art and sketch cards, signature cards, and then in addition to that, there are special bonus inserts, which include jumbo cards,
ooh,
artist brush cards. The artist brush cards, which I think we have a photo of, you're actually looking at right now, hopefully.
Okay.
But it gives you the artist, and then it like gives you a little bit of information about like the specific brush types that they like to use while right. painting. And then the Luke Chu stand-up cards.
Did you get a Luke Chu stand-up card?
I did get a Luke Chu stand-up
okay,
card.
Okay, so we got a couple of advanced packs that we wanted to go through and kind of, you know,
Well, before we get to that, I want to just rattle off a couple of the names. I want to rattle off a couple names of people that we know... Or are friends of the show or whatnot that are out of these 110.
Okay.
Tenacious Toys is in there.
Do we get Tenacious?
We did not get Tenacious.
All right. We're gonna talk about who we got, right?
Steve Tikowski is in there. Steve Tikowski is from Sketchbot. We've talked to him on the show a couple times before. We interviewed him at Toy Street a couple years back. Ritzy Periwinkle has a card in there. She is from You Heard Show and The Nerd Out, and you know, they helped us out with the fundraiser when we were doing the fundraiser.
Uh-huh.
And Ritzy is a swell person. We love her, so that's awesome. Lou Pimentel, longtime friend of the show. He's got a card in there. Lev.
I actually pulled the Lev card out of my first pack. It was the first card I got where I was like, yes.
Jeremiah Kettner is in there. We went to Jeremiah's show. A show at the Suburban Vinyl, at that little show in New Jersey.
Yeah.
We've talked to him a couple times. John Paul Kaiser.
I got John Paul Kaiser.
You did get John Paul Kaiser.
My collection is rocking so far with Lev and John Paul Kaiser.
J-Rue is in there.
I'm going to tap.
Banksy is in there. Are you going to tap?
I'm going to tap John Paul Kaiser.
What does that give you, one green banner?
An advanced Lev.
You're going to tack with Lev? Dave Healy has a card in this series.
Really?
Dave's a friend of the show.
Wow,
yep.
HealyMade.com.
That's right. Eric Nocella Diaz, END from Argonaut Resins, of course, is in there. Angry Wobots is in there. Woes is in there.
Him.
And then here's a name who is not a guy who's in any way, I don't think we've ever talked about him on the show.
Okay.
But I talked about him on Collectible Bits Box.
Whoa.
Grizz Grimley.
I know that name.
So back in the day, I have this statue. I have two of them, actually. It's Geppetto's Workshop. It's like this hyper-stylized Geppetto. And there was a black and white version, and there was a full-color version. And I want to say it was Weedy Wheat was the toy company putting it out at the time.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And it's like this hyper-stylized Geppetto in this workshop with all these weird tools, and he's building Pinocchio. But his art is awesome, and I started looking up his art again when I saw his name, so that's kind of random. I wanted to throw that out there. So some of the cards that we were lucky enough to pull.
Yeah, let's get into that.
I did get a Luke Chu stand-up card.
Let me see it.
Hold on.
Why don't I ever get Luke Chu stuff? Why don't I get the Luke Chu book?
Let me see that. Stand-up card.
Oh,
so
that's
pretty awesome.
Oh, so it kind of pops out?
Yep.
Can I do it?
Sure.
I don't want to fold it on you, but you fold it and it stands up. That is brilliant.
Why couldn't
we do a stand-up card?
I got Jeremy.
Hey, wait a minute, Simeon.
Maybe one day, sir. I also pulled his head in class. I also pulled.
Shut up. We're not going to talk about my relationship with Simone.
I pulled Jeremy Broutman. For those of you who don't follow his blog, he's a very opinionated young man, and he has a really good toy blog.
Okay.
So check out jeremyryads.com. I pulled Steve Tikowski, Junko Mizuno. I pulled, who's a great, I really love her art.
I pulled Simone Legno.
Tokidoki, right?
Right, he did Tokidoki. Still doing Tokidoki, right?
Yep. Molly Krabappel, I pulled.
I know her.
Yeah, we've met her a couple times. And she does stuff with Neil Gaiman, too.
She's friends
with Neil Gaiman, yeah.
She did one of those weirdo sketches in my sketchbook 100 years ago when she wasn't really anyone. Yep.
I pulled a Drew Christie signature card.
Oh, did you get... Okay, let's talk about... Well, before that, I got both a signed and unsigned version of the Brandy Milne card.
That's cool to get the signed and unsigned.
She's cute.
Oh, I pulled Tristan Eaton.
Who is Brandy?
Tristan Eaton art card is really nice.
I checked out her site.
The geisha and the...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That's really nice, yeah.
BrandyMilne.com, sir.
Yes.
I checked out her work. Uh-huh. I kind of like it, but she's adorable looking.
Okay.
I'm just saying. So I got the signed one of her. She just kind of wrote Brandy on it. That's totally cool.
That's cool.
However, I did get also the Elizabeth McGrath card.
Okay.
Except... If you got the signature cards, they're stamped on the back.
Yes, they are stamped on the back.
That says that it's an official signature card?
I believe ours were stamped on the back too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, but we can't really tell. I don't know who Elizabeth McGrath is.
I'm not entirely sure who she is either.
Except that she's cute and she put a star and a spade and a knife on drew on her card and put E.M. McGrath, E.M. with a little C above. So, I don't know who this is. She's so cute, though.
So these are coming to retailers.
Yeah. Did we talk about our cards?
Well, we're going to get to that right now.
Oh, okay.
So what we have... So February, you can get these cards.
Right. Where can they?
In packs. Select retailers. Tenacious Toys, I think, has them. My Plastic Heart will probably have them.
VRHustle.com?
I don't think he sells them directly.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
So I know you could also, if you are a store or you run a website that has a store, you could contact DKE Toys and you can carry them in your store.
Hey.
So you could do that as well.
Hey, we have a store.
We do have a store.
Why aren't we carrying them?
Because we're going to be carrying our AP cards when we get them in March or April. Sorry. But. Prior to that, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 10.
Whoa.
Packs to give away.
Nice. Now, what's special about
these are
packs?
10 packs of the Art Hustle cards. There's nothing special about them, per se. In addition to those 10 packs.
Well, they're not packed, are they?
Oh, yeah. There's a full pack of cards in there.
Okay.
And in addition to that, there is one signed Big Kev card. And one signed OG card.
A signed one?
That's right.
Wow. Now, these were signed by us a while back.
A while back.
Okay.
This does not include... What is not in this pack is the show card.
The Big Kev's Geek Stuff show card.
Right. Our individual cards, but not... The show card you will have to get through the pack.
And apparently it's
you might get one in one of the packs. You might get lucky.
Apparently it's quite rare.
Yes, that's what I hear.
So... And a signed one is even more so.
So we're going to be giving away 5 of these on Twitter and 5 of these on Facebook.
Nice.
Okay, and I will post the rules and the time frame all on the show notes, so look for that. The Twitter one's going to be pretty easy. Follow me, follow the show, and follow Art Hustle. And the Facebook page is going to be to like us and then leave some sort of comment. I'll come up with that later.
Okay.
Check the show notes for that. But 10 packs we're giving away.
Wow.
And we'll give you 2 weeks to enter.
2 weeks.
And we'll draw those live on the show.
Yeah.
And we'll send them to you.
Nice.
There you go.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, do I understand correctly there are oversized cards as well?
There are oversized cards, but I think there are special packs for the oversized
cards. Oh, there are.
Yeah, we have a photo of those as well. Those packs, I think, are red instead of yellow.
Do we get some of those?
I don't know how that works.
I want our cards in big.
We'll have to contact Simeon about that.
Simeon. Why did I say Simone? I feel really bad about that.
Because, I don't know, you were fantasizing about him in a redheaded sort of way? I'm not sure.
We are not bringing up my relationship with any person who may or may have not been on TV in a show called Head of the Class. We're not bringing it up. Yes, OG, let's take our final break and we'll be right back with the speedy wrap-up of episode 275 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, where no Star Trek director has gone before.
Hey, this is Rob Paulsen, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain, 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 Brain.
Narf.
And we are back.
Superpower Collectibles.
With Big Kev's Geek
Superpower
Stuff.
Superpower Collectibles.
SuperpowerCollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness.
Yes.
Comic books, statues, action figures, a plethora.
A veritable cornucopia.
A treasure trove.
Of items for you to purchase from superpowercollectibles.com.
And of course.
Yeah, if you use the coupon code BIGKEV.
That's right.
Any order of $50 or more will get you $10 off that order.
That's right.
Any order of $99 or more will get you free shipping.
That's right.
You can combine.
That's right.
Any order over $1,000 or more.
Yeah. Rub and tug?
Happy ending? Something? Dinner,
I don't know that he would appreciate that. So.
Dinner with J.Ru?
I don't know that he would appreciate that.
Probably wouldn't. You should, though, because we had an awesome time.
We did.
Awesome time. Korean barbecue. Check it out, folks.
So, yes, check out superpowercollectibles.com.
Yes.
And be sure to support them. Of course, supporting them supports the show.
Absolutely.
You win, we win, everybody's happy.
Everybody wins. It's what's really good about supporting our supporters.
That's right.
If you will. SuperpowerCollectibles.com. OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Of course, the biggest news this week is that J.J. Abrams is directing Star Wars Episode 7, which may or may not come out in 2015. He will still be producing and maybe directing Star Trek
3.
Hopefully he doesn't kill two franchises with one stone, with one Mickey head.
You mean he's going to singer it?
Yeah, exactly.
He might singer.
Yikes.
Pull a singer. Ooh, that's a good one.
There you go. Of course, we'll save that for a future episode title. Things
I know.
Don't go well.
Pulling a singer.
Of course, we all
Star Wars Episode 7, Pulling a Singer.
Let's hope we never have to use that episode title. Of course, Warner Brothers, no confidence in Man of Steel.
Apparently
saying
not.
If that tanks, so does JLA.
So does everything.
Hasbro with their Star Wars The Black Series,
yes.
6-inch and
very
3/4.
But we are undetermined as to whether OG and I are going to be completists.
That's right. And of course, support Benny in his fundraiser. We'll post a link to that.
Yes.
In the DVDs tonight, Downton Abbey season 3.
Uh-huh.
And
Batman the Dark Knight part 2.
Right.
Next week.
In comics this week, I had 4 titles that I picked up. Green Arrow number 3, of course, this is following the hit TV series.
Is it a hit?
Oh, it's doing very well,
oh,
sir.
Oh, good.
Batman the Dark Knight number 16 out this week. Superior Spider-Man number 2.
I picked up Shadow number 9, Green Hornet number 33, both of which are on my watch list.
That's right.
Meaning, watch me quit reading them. I am going to read the Mark Waid Green Hornet. I accidentally bought the second printing variant of Daredevil 21. I don't know why Retailer X allowed me to do that. Batman and Robin Annual number 1, Batman Incorporated number 7. Batman Beyond Unlimited number 12, which is a really good book that I don't think enough people are reading. Dark Knight, Batman the Dark Knight number 16.
Which I mentioned.
And, oh, you did?
I did.
Did you say Talon?
I did not say Talon.
Talon number 4. There. I'm good again. And then also, Star Wars Omnibus Infinities. This is sort of the alternate, you know, what if universe of the original trilogy of movies. You should definitely check it out. Some weird stuff in there, OG. And finally, Frank R. Paul, the Dean of Science Fiction Illustration. You must check out this book. It is phenomenal. It is the basis of who you are as a science fiction fan today. If this stuff never happened, we wouldn't be here talking about stuff like Star Wars.
That's true.
I mean, this is the foundations of those, you know, those thoughts and those ideas and those creations.
Absolutely.
So you should definitely be checking that out.
Of course.
I'm gonna ram this copy of Daredevil of Retailer X's.
Of course, in product tonight.
Yes.
Sideshow.
Militaries of Star Wars, 212th Battalion, Utapau, 2nd Airborne Company, 6th scale figure. A success, a triumph for Sideshow, as most of their Star Wars stuff usually is. we got the exclusive version as the exclusive bass and some other things as well. Infinitely posable, lots of different combinations. Beautiful packaging. It's the complete picture, folks. This is why Star Wars from Sideshow is some of the best stuff going out there. You must check it out over at Sideshow Collectibles or Sideshow Toy, I think, also is another one that you can check out over there. OG mentioned the Mythos line.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
fantastic.
My God.
Fantastic.
So check those out as well. And then, of course, it was the Art Hustle.
That's right.
Presents
Series 3. We will be giving away
Series 3 trading cards. Yeah. They come in wax packs.
I like the wax packs.
I don't know. The tactile feel
of
the
wax. No, I love
the
wax packs. They got that nostalgic feel.
I know.
Makes me feel like I'm opening up a pack of Topps baseball cards.
I know, but with the gum that you could jimmy a lock with.
Yeah. Some fantastic artists in this lineup. Some friends of the show. Of course, there's the awesome stand-up cards, the jumbo cards, the signature cards, the brush cards.
You know what our card should have been?
What?
Printed on that awful gum.
Oh, ew.
That would have been awesome. If we were the gum card?
Of course, we are giving away 10 packs of cards, which will include the Big Kev card, the OG card signed by myself.
But not the show card.
But not the show card.
We have three cards.
That's right.
Three cards in this set.
You will have to buy the packs in order to get that card.
Yup.
February 2013 at your favorite retailer. Check those out soon.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's it. So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Of course, you could also check us out over at the More Like Radio Network as part of Compulsion, not Compulsion. I forget the name of the magazine now.
Benny's thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, Impulse. It is Impulse. I forget the name, but I'll post a link to it. That, of course, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/BK Geek Stuff, YouTube/BK Geek Stuff, @GeekStuffOG, @BK Geek Stuff on Twitter.
Was that YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube.com/BK
You were like,
Geek Stuff.
YouTube.
I became ethnic for a moment.
YouTube, my friend.
And I think that's it.
OG, then I will end this this show of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, this episode, if you will, number 275, by saying good night, Brandy Milne, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever on, over rock and under tree.